Joseph, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
Okay,
you.
cool.
I am in a land of no internet.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was a meeting today because I almost thought you said maybe there wasn't.
Yes, my parents have like dial-up speed. I'm visiting my parents, and they have dial-up speed in very, very rural Idaho. And so I drive down to the volunteer fire department and get on their public Wi-Fi that I helped
That's
set up
great.
10 years ago. And so, yeah, I probably won't be sharing my screen or streaming because even here the internet speed is like
Yeah.
3 megabits, and so, which is better than the 256K that I get at my parents' house. Yeah,
They
exactly. Yeah.
got recordings of those on the Wikipedia page for dial-up.
Oh, do they?
They
That's
do. So if you ever need a recording of that to play for somebody for fun, and it is kind of fun, you can find them
it
there.
is. As a matter of fact, because I'm a nerd, I don't like all of my startup programs launching right when I log into my computer. So I disable
Right.
them all. But I have a script that pops up and says, "Do you want to launch your software?" And if you hit yes, it plays the dial-up tone and then launches everything. And my kids will go, "What is that?" And I go, "It's the sound of robots being tortured in the telephone line." I'm connecting to the internet, children. And they go, "Okay, Grandpa, take your pills, you know."
And it's just kind of like, I've seen things people wouldn't believe.
The old dial-up cards in your server room where you had a whole
Yeah.
bank of them so you could create a trunk and get up to
What
one
does he
megabit.
say? So I've seen things you people wouldn't. Oh, what was the God, the internet one I've seen, the whole Tears in the Rain soliloquy at the end of Blade Runner. What how did it go? The tears, the awesome like redux of that. Oh my God, I've got to find this. It just pops up in my feed every now and then, and it's so perfect, man.
Well, and just the other day, or I guess it was about 2, 3 weeks ago, AOL finally discontinued their last dial-up service. So that's it. It's the end of an age. I feel like it was the end of the age a couple of years ago, but officially the end of an age.
I
So
was gonna say I don't really have a I want to do some active testing, but it's not gonna be until the end of the year, the beginning of next year. We are implementing Aspen. We just actually went to AspenCon, and the Aspen community, because there's been a little schism there, is looking to join the Open Library Foundation.
Yeah,
So,
that is exciting.
yeah, it really is. So Koha's already, but it seems like Koha's been at it for a while. I hope it doesn't take that long for Aspen. But I want, I got you. I got that list. I shared it with the person I'm working with. We actually want to do it, and then I'm not going to really be able to do what I'd like to do until we get through this,
Sure.
which I just don't
Yeah.
think reasonably.
Yeah.
But otherwise, how are things going? You
Well,
have that list.
I do have that list, and I think it's going well. I think I've tried to capture as much as the information that that I had on hand. I haven't done, admittedly, any deep dives because Tara, in a previous meeting, shared the libraries.org public libraries, and from that, she had one of her suggestions was doing comparison tables to see what features might be missing from Folio and doing some of the lift. I wanted to start a little closer to home where I took common workarounds that every Folio library has and start with why do we have to have a workaround? Is it because it's too specialized for one organization? Would another organization want it slightly different? The other is, Lisa just sent me a message that she might be in the wrong room. Let me see if I can grab the Zoom link here. Ba-ba-ba-bum.
I just dropped an image into the chat.
No, beauty. Let's see. I'm also working on one screen instead of four, so I'm like I'm very, very much struggling here.
I'm struggling every day, man, I'll be honest.
Oh yeah. All those memories will be lost in time. Like tears in the
Rutger Hauer, the end of
rain. Yes,
Blade
Blade
Runner.
Runner. So,
This has been around for a decade. That's the funnier part about it. That's been around like 10 years. So that's how old that is.
that is awesome. Let me see. I'm gonna post that too. So I wanted to ask before we jumped even into some of this on the gap analysis was did you attended work WolfCon virtually?
I did.
Yeah, and what was your impressions?
Dude, I mean, I like that there is actually an active conversation. It's mature software such that people are saying it's time to start talking about sustainability. Like it's reached that point. That's encouraging. I mean, I just don't know why more public libraries, well, I mean, I know why. Haven't in looked into investing in it. I don't know if there's anybody else in the last year since Library of Congress went live.
I do. I am excited to see the conversations about sustainability happening, and I think that there's a really good plan kind of compiled from the tri-councils and summarized in Jeremy Huff's community-driven development framework that offers the ability to manage our money, focus on what core applications get funded for maintenance, as well as this is one that was important to me, is how do you handle funding? So if Spokane Public Library and Lehigh, for example, wanted to fund a small enhancement to the item record, we could, work out the price of that with a vendor, with Index Data or EBSCO, or maybe even a third party, another third party. And then we work out the price and we figure out how we're going to split that cost and pay that developer and get it through the pipeline of the Folio development process. And what I like about the community-driven development framework is that the onus of that gets taken off individual institutions trying to scramble with one another to find funding and puts it on them to build an MOU or a bid or RFP and bid proposals and everything else with the vendors directly and then put it back to the institutions and go, okay, this is how much it's going to cost. It's up to you to find funding sources. And it takes a lot of the technical and heavy lifting work off of the institutions who want to see progress made. And it keeps it in control of the governance council that represents all of the folio libraries. That way, it's not just, I wanted this in there, so I threw it in there. It's how does this play into the bigger picture of the folio project, and how can we leverage existing resources to make sure that this gets done properly. So I'm hopeful that that proposal gets adopted by the governance councils and progresses further. I'm hopeful for that. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey, good morning. Sorry, I was on the wrong Zoom.
Oh,
How are
that's
you?
okay. I'm doing all right. I was just telling David I'm in the land of no internet. Or almost no internet. And so my parents have dial-up speed internet. And so I drive to
Oh.
the volunteer fire department where I get on their public Wi-Fi that I helped them set up like 10 years ago.
Classic
And so
America.
I get like 2 or 3 megabits per second, which is really cool.
Okay.
So I probably won't be sharing my screen or video just because my the squirrels inside the machine will die if I mess that
Oh,
much of them. So,
I agree with you about the community-driven development, and that's a work in progress. There were no firm decisions at the Tri-Council meeting made about that, and I except for the fact that I think they were going to do it little bits at a time. Yet there is a subgroup at the of the product council that's continues to work on that and see how much they can. Jeremy's proposal is pretty. Oh gosh, how would I say? Kind of, I don't know, rebellious isn't quite the word, but it's a needed overhaul. But I don't think everybody's ready for it 100% yet. That's my read on it. So, but it is continuing, and hopefully it'll just grow, and people will get confidence in what he's proposing if it's done in smaller steps, which is what Caitlin, who is in charge of the product council, is kind of advocating for getting whatever done that we can right now. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that
Excellent.
in if that's helpful. On
That is helpful. Thank you for sharing that because that was one of the other things I was going to ask to see if there is any product council updates from you.
only that, and we have three committees as a result of the WolfCon Tri-Council meeting. The community priorities dashboard, which has been ongoing, but that's just continuing. The community directed development framework, and then and I don't know what RM, I'm not sure what this third one is, which I didn't sign up for it because I really wasn't sure. Relations and communication is the main thing with the PC. So yeah, and Caitlin is the Library of Congress, and as you know, they're not working right now, so she hasn't been coming to meetings, and Jeremy's been leading the meetings, which in itself is kind of interesting and whatever. So yeah, that's it. Nothing terribly illuminating.
Okay. The other news that I have is in the interest of trying to make sure that pub lib sig does not go dormant like it did 4 years ago, is I'm gonna coach Robert Roos here at Spokane Public Library to be a co-convener with me. And so for the next few meetings starting next month, obviously he's not here today. Now that he's not here, I'm volunteering him for all these things, that he's going to help co-convene so that in the event where I'm on dial-up speed or need to leave for a family affair or something, he'll be able to hold the meetings and steer the ship while I'm out. And so that's the other news from the housekeeping convener notes is Robert Roos is going to be a
Nice.
co-convener in training for a little while.
It's a good idea. And Joseph, I'm sorry, I forgot one more thing. You do not have to do a report for this month since we're meeting with the groups individually for the PC Council.
And when is that? I probably have it on my calendar.
Tomorrow, but it's
Oh.
like we always a day after our meeting where it would have been due, but you don't have to do it.
Gotcha. Okay. But The meeting itself, the product council meeting is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, yes, at
Gotcha.
11 Eastern Standard Time. Or 10, is
Gotcha.
it 10? Well, 10, I'm sorry.
10.
My
Oh, so it's a
Eastern.
7 a.m. meeting for me. Gotcha. Well, I probably won't be able to make that one. So, just by the nature of where I'm at right now. So that's unfortunate. Another good reason to have a co-convener.
True.
So yeah, my feelings from WolfCon governance is definitely moving forward, and there was a lot of strong collaboration this go around. The in-person was irreplaceable for me, and there are a lot of people. So my elevator pitch, which I think I spun to you too, Lisa, is that anybody who attends, well, almost anybody who attends WolfCon has a public library card. And so my elevator pitch to people as I was seeing them is, you have a public library card, so opening up Folio and making it a viable replacement for public library should be as important as making sure that it works well for your own institution. And so a lot of people responded to that, oh, I never thought about that before. I'm always worried about dealing with my own fires that I don't think about public libraries. But yeah, I want my own local public library to use Folio. I want them to be a part of this. So I think that there's hope that other institutions, academic institutions where everybody has a public library card, might start showing a little more attention to the needs of public libraries. And so, on that note, the gap analysis document that I've put together was just kind of a collection of things that have been swimming around in my brain or written down in various places. And my goal is, one of the things brought up both at Jeremy's discussion about community-driven development, as well as Caitlin Stewart's conversations about the community priorities dashboard, is that those JIRAs need to be well documented and shovel-ready. They need to be ready to hand over to a developer and in order to get them implemented. And so, one of the goals that I have with the gap analysis document is, not only are we going to point out, it's one thing to just say, oh, all of this is broken and needs to be fixed, right? And to wag my finger at that. I've been doing it for several years. But the, hold on, as I'm here at the volunteer fire department, I have someone knocking at the door. I hope it's not a fire.
Well, you're in the right place, I think.
Right? Can I put you on all on a really brief hold? I am so
Of
sorry.
course, no, of
Give
course.
me 1 second. One moment.
Yeah, we got to talking about dial-up sounds. That was pretty fun before you showed up.
Oh, is he hearing that? Does that still exist?
Well, yeah, we were at his parents' house, I think, maybe, and I was like telling him there's a Wikipedia page on dial-up actually has like recordings of the old
Oh,
tones,
that's a
and
great idea.
it's really fun because then you can play them and get
Yeah.
nostalgic. And then I dropped the image in the chat from
Oh.
which is funny because that's like 10, I think that's like 10 years old now. This has circulated heavily for a long time, but it's
Oh.
sort of re sort of a modification of Rutger Hauer's like Tears in the Rain soliloquy at the end of Blade Runner.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that, but
Oh, you don't
you
know Blade Runner. Oh, that
no,
well,
no.
you'd have to know Blade Runner and the soliloquy at the end for it to be funny. So,
Oh, sorry, I'm missing out. I even cataloged it yesterday. The streaming
oh,
video, yeah, coincidentally,
really?
yeah.
Oh
Sorry about
man,
that. Sorry.
great film, great
Everything
film. But
okay? Yeah.
an android or robot is dying at the end. He's sort of like timing out, if you will, and he gives this little soliloquy of things that he's seen, and it's just interesting because it's his life. But I like, you know, like if you talked about Gopher or Netscape to a Gen Z person, you might as well tell them to
I
burn
was
it, burn a
there when the
CD.
internet. Everything is okay. I drive a 15 passenger van because I have 8 kids. And so someone in the neighborhood recognized my van and said, "Oh, I know that van. It's Joey Malloy. He's here." And so they wanted to pop in and say hi. That's what happens when you visit the small town. Is everybody recognizes everybody, and there's no one here that drives a 15 passenger van. And so they know who it is right
That's
away
a
when
great
they
story.
see
I love it.
it. So they wanted to pop in and say hi. So I said, "Great, get out of here. Where'd you gone? I got things to do." But back to, excuse me, the gap analysis is not only do I want to call out the things that are missing from Folio and how they can be improved, but I would like to be able to build Jiras for them and have an actual answer or solution that is shovel ready for a development team. Because what I imagine is this: if we work together and this whole gap analysis document is done, if someone like OCLS, Orange County, wanted to go to Folio and they say, "Here's our MVP, right? Here's our RFP for what we need in for Folio to work," and it's already well documented here on this page. And all the Jiras are called out of how to implement that MVP for OCLS. Then, when OCLS is going out for bids from Index Data or EBSCO or whoever to migrate to Folio, OCLS could handpick the MVP features from this list and say, "Give me a price to build this." And being that they're already shovel ready, EBSCO could come back and go, "Oh, yes, it's going to cost $80,000 to implement these 7 or 8 must-have features that you're looking for." And then everything is ready to go for a migrating institution, rather than a migrating institution having to do all of that legwork to try and define how this is going to work without any context of how Folio actually works. So the
Even better if we
goal.
could find two other, three other, four other libraries
Exactly.
willing to agree on what it would take for us to get on there. And that's the challenge, because it's going to take some
Exactly.
administrators to make those connections with these other libraries. And I don't know how to make that happen.
Yes. And even better, and I'm making a note of that too, even better would be if the, this is where this will dovetail into our earlier conversation, that community driven development framework proposed by Jeremy is that that's where these 4 or 5 items, like we pointed out, can be put on the roadmap of these need funding. These have been approved by Product Council or the Tri-Councils, and now they're ready for funding. And then we can use the administrative might of the Governing Council to where this group, our SIG, could then go to OCLS. We could go to Maricopa County. We could go to those big players in the room and go, "We now have these fleshed out and ready to go for Folio to be a viable LMS for you to migrate to. Now the Governance Council has given us a mean to fund it directly without everybody having to ad hoc MOUs together to figure out how to pay for it." Right. There's a clear
Yeah, this
way
is
that we could
great.
fund it. And so that is the whole
Yeah.
goal. Go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry. I like to
I
ramble.
no, I apologize. I just wanted to say I think this is exactly what they're looking for, and you're right about having it ready to go. And I think if everyone did it like this, I think some groups have done it in different ways, but this is a great example. So thank you so much.
Thank
You
you. I'm
just name dropped Maricopa. Has there been interest from there?
I can neither confirm nor deny. I have no independent recollection of ever having had any conversations with the Maricopa Public Library System. Oh, I'm
Well,
sorry. Am I
well
being am I
done.
testifying against Congress? You know, I'm I don't want
Yeah.
to create any perjury here, but no, they're one of the big players. Tennessee or Nashville Public is another good one. They have Philip
Oh, really?
before.
Oh, that's
Yes.
interesting. I was just in Nashville this week, last week at AspenCon, talking with having drinks and talking with oh my gosh, what's his name again? Oh, it's gonna drive me insane. And I wish that this had actually come up. If I had known, I would have launched into it.
Oh, mercy. Missed opportunities. Story of my life.
That is going to drive me insane now. James Staub, Staub.
AUB, James
He's the
Staub.
systems librarian there.
Ah, okay. And so
Long time.
they have shown interest in Folio before, and they have a relationship with their school district, similar to how Spokane has our relationship. And so that was why they had looked and went, is Spokane the only public library? And they do this with their schools, and they have a union catalog with them. We're going to reach out. And so we've had conversations with them. So there's, a couple of really big players, like some of the biggest. Nashville already has an open source mindset, right, with how much they contribute to Aspen. Aspen, of course, being a Folio compatible discovery layer, that it makes sense to see them with some interest in it. So, a couple of big players having all of the gap analysis features well fleshed out, documented, shovel ready for a development team. That's the general goal of trying to pull these out. And so, one thing I was saying earlier, Lisa, I can't remember, I don't know if you were on the call first, is I have some RFPs that I've reviewed where I go through and it says this, the proposed ILS should be able to do X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and Z. And then I go, can Folio do that? No, it can't. Can Folio do that? Yes, it can. Can Folio, And so I've tried to capture that and represent it in here, not necessarily as a JIRA yet, but right now I'm just trying to find the gaps. So I thought before diving any further into other library systems, what about Folio closer to home, where I have documented all of the common workarounds that SPL has implemented over the past 4 years, where I believe it should exist natively in the product. Can you give some examples of Lehigh's workarounds for Folio that you believe should, or your institution believes should exist in the product natively? And I can write those down and then flush out details of those in future time.
Could you could I think about it and so to make
Sure.
sure, because there's some aspects of data import, but the other thing is they have been making progress, and it's a matter of testing to see if they're there. But anyway, yeah, I'd rather put some thought into it and write it down for you if that's okay.
That would be great.
Okay.
That would be absolutely wonderful. And then the other is for you, David, and I know right now you're going through your migration with Aspen, but another would be if you had to think of putting together an RFP, and this would be great
Well,
just to
we'll
have
be
in
thinking
conversation.
about it a lot early next year.
Woohoo! Then even better if you get it to me before that time, and then we can have all the stuff
Yeah,
fleshed out.
that's.
Is what would be those core functionalities of either your current ILS or an ILS that you'd be going to? And we could have it in conversation style in the SIG meeting, or you can send it to me an email, write it up if you want, whatever your preference is. And we can just go through and go, well, I expect it to be able to check in and check out and support RFID. And
Mm-hmm.
I can go, yes, this is supported. What's another one? Oh, we want checkout override. Aha, we don't have that. And we can call out those things and then add them to this list. And eventually I would like to either build Jira's forum or link them to existing work that's being done. Some of this stuff is currently in development. Some of it is not, and I would like to be able to call that out as well. So,
And I'll totally, buckle down and do user stories and stuff, man. If we're talking about doing stuff at that level, I mean, I'm not sure at what
yeah.
point you get to that. I did
User stories are the
acquisition.
best.
I did user stories for acquisitions and qual for Qualiole, like in 2010, 11, something like that. It's been that long. And I can see that I don't want to get into specifics, but the big thing that really sticks out to me here, looking at this list, I meant to actually mention this to you, but looking at it again, printing. It's a recurring thing, acquisitions and circulation, both. And then there's just printing seems to be just like lost, not important. And I don't know what is missing there, but that seems like a broad area that would be useful to not just public libraries. The other thing that's missing from here that is just so critical for a large public library's workflow is automatic receiving. So generating barcodes based on a specific prediction of check digits, right? And printing out labels for those materials. Because if you don't have that, you cannot, we're not getting every university press publication in Dr. Smith or Dr. Jones, area of research, right? We're getting 50 copies of the latest Stephen King. And we have to, I mean, like it's more like a factory of the processing of materials. That's the big thing that I see missing in there. I do have a list. It's old. It goes back to when we were evaluating Wise, and it will probably need to be reviewed. But that's definitely in there.
It is. And it's funny too, because if Rob Bruce was here, he would tell you that the biggest pain point from his department's perspective, and he works in support services, is the acquisitions workflow. And one of the things that we're implementing right now to speed that up is EDIFACT invoicing, ordering and invoicing, which will save about 40 to 60% of the ordering invoicing time, ordering and invoicing, not the processing though, which now that I'm thinking about, as you mentioned, a workflow around that barcode generate automatic barcode generation and printing based on check digit auto print label. As it stands, there's not even a way to print a label in Folio, which to me is
That's kind of
just
wild to me, actually. I'm actually surprised by this. We had spine labels. I've worked in academic libraries, and we did, in fact, rely on spine labels to shelve things.
And there's workarounds, right? You can pay we pay a nominal fee to for a product called Libstick. There's another software called Spinomatic that was designed to work with Alma that we can use. And so there are workarounds, but there's nothing native to the product. And I'm thinking about every public library in that most of them do not have some gigantic development team, or even maybe one or two developers to build some custom application to do this kind of work. So, and we do, right, where we have three developers. And so we have a custom label request form that staff submit to, and then our support services staff ingest those and load them into Libstick and then print labels with them. But I look at that and I go, why does this not exist in the product itself? But I never took it the next step, which is why I'm excited about this conversation with you, is I never thought about automating a workflow that you mark an item as received or a group of items as
Yeah.
received, and then
So
it automatically prints it all.
you're right. Your workflow is you put in the first barcode from a sheet of barcodes already purchased, right? And it but knowing the check digit formula and the barcode format you're using, you give it the number of items to receive, and this could be a partial order. Right. So you could actually be receiving 10 of 20 line items from an order because they're, you get 10 and the 10 are on back order, right? Receive only 10 of them, print out barcodes for those 10 and print the 10 call number labels and receive those items from those orders. So there's multiple, there's basically three pieces of business logic happening here.
And that's why I
Oh,
enjoy.
and I'm
Go
sorry.
ahead.
Yeah. Read the barcodes, insert them into the item record. Yeah, you know
Right.
what?
Yeah,
I'm gonna
you're
write. I'll write
updating.
it. I'm gonna write it all down too. I'm trying to think of like how many actual like processes are actually taking place, because, but at any rate,
And
that's just a big one that we,
does that exist currently in
Oh
in
yeah,
your iOS?
absolutely. That exists in most that almost that has to exist in iOS used at a large metro where you do centralized receiving of materials, like ordering and receiving of materials like that. You can't function without it. So it's going to work in Symfony. If I recollect correctly, it does. There's no way the libraries running Polaris the size they are could do it without that. I don't know about TLC, but I would assume so. Because the staffing would required would be huge.
Yes, painful, painfully huge. And this is where I get an when I was talking about the commonality of workarounds institutions are doing, is I watched a bit of a showcase from Stanford University, and they have, they have 29,000 employees across all their campuses, and that's everybody from a janitor to a student aide, right, professors and so on. But they built a workflow. They use a workflow engine. And they build automations to do this as their solution to large for to high volume acquisitions. Because even, academic libraries, they receive enough, and a bigger institution like that probably receives, equal to a medium-sized public library. But they built a workaround for it. As I'm trying to think of this user story that you have, this is why I love user stories, because I say, this is how it worked. This is how we expect it to work. And my mind immediately goes to the JSON data, right? Or the API calls. And I'm like, okay, how could this be made to work as a tool? And so I'm very excited about this prospect of streamlining acquisitions or automation for acquisitions is very exciting for me. You can tell I have no life. Get excited about acquisitions. So yeah, having that all written out as a either as a user story or how it currently works in your ILS would be a great launch point to get that represented as a Jira. How is this actually going to work in Folio? What would the UI look like? Things like that. I live for this kind of thing. So very excited about that. See, and that was just right off the top of your head, David.
I
I'm
well,
excited
it, not so
though.
much. I actually spent a lot of time looking at this the week before last, like reading through it. We just brought in our copy cataloger to be like basically my assistant, you know. And I she has a lot. She's got 20 years experience working with this thing, and had her look at it. And we're just thinking about it. That was not off the top of my head. That was from like last week. But
Okay.
yeah, the week before last. But yeah, I'm actually actively looking at my document we created for OCLC in 2018. This is dated. It needs to be reviewed. I'm gonna go in and send it to you because, whatever. I'm taking out the discovery stuff because it's discovery is not part of this, right? So I'm just deleting all of the discovery stuff because one way or another we'll be using ViewFind, Aspen. We'll be using Aspen, some other, EDS. I don't know. Some other third party was never going to have it, right? And their product manager told us that it'd be great if we just had like a he used the term Moscow, so must, should, could, would have. I don't
Oh, I like
would
that.
be nice if it had or something like that. That's just what he asked for, so that's how I created it. But there's the must have and should have stuff is in there. It's split up into four tabs for administration, API, public service, and technical services. Where, let me see where I just saved this to so I can share it. It's in my downloads. Okay, cool. I can attach files, right? Where's my attach file? Hello, downloads. I'm sending this to you. Cannot be sent because it is currently in use. Okay, fine. That's helpful. And bear with me for a minute.
Yeah, I'm already excited about this because a lot of there are things that I didn't even think about because our public library doesn't use certain features. We don't have a use for weighted requests where we want a certain borrower type to get priority over another. We don't use that. So I would have never thought about it, except I was reviewing an RFP for another public library. And they said we want this as, as a feature in the next system. And so without having stuff like what you're sharing right now, I would have never even thought about that as a possibility.
So
So
what I
this is
just sent, I
great.
just changed the name of it because this could come from anyone.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there's like in stuff in the administration that should be in the API, like modules API. Oh, that's why it's in administration. It's about setting an API key.
Gotcha.
This was derived from reading many, 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 many other libraries' RFPs with a lot of red ink and highlighters, and then
Gotcha.
taking these features and actually creating forms for our administrators and department heads, and the key staff that they chose to actually rank these as their. So this isn't just something I just put together. This is me actively collecting information from key users across our system
Gotcha. Yeah, it's stakeholder involvement in all of
in
this.
2018. So
Right.
that's the
Yeah.
caveat. This is 7 years old. Like
Gotcha.
this month. is when I was
See,
collecting this in October of 18, I think.
and the other thing that's important about this too is when it comes to detail, like such as this, is that there are some features in most ILSs that are just when people say, oh yeah, in Horizon we had billing for actual cost. And you go, well, of course you do. Doesn't everybody? You know? And so there are some situations where, you know, like the label request where or the label printing where you go, well, this is just part of an IL. That's what an ILS is for managing collections and users, right? So why wouldn't it have a label printing on there? And so there are some things that I don't realize should be just naturally part of the system without having it seeing called out, I guess, without seeing it called out from another institution or a gap analysis or something where, oh yeah, it makes sense. Why couldn't we place a hold at a bib level, right? What which is has come to Folio finally, where we have bib level requests, but then there are some deficiencies in those. So anyway, seeing this kind of thing is immensely valuable because I can't think of everything. What's nice is that you had a bunch of people who thought of everything, and then even though it's 8 years old, is still applicable, you know, for what we're trying to achieve here with the gap analysis.
I mean, but I'm looking at like the row, like 12 and 13 of the administration tab. There are things in there that are already dated though, because we don't need an ILS to configure our notices and text format and formatting and stuff, because this is generally handled by third-party vendors now. This is
Yes.
something. I mean, you're using Patron Point. We were using them. We went to LX Starter because it was free and our director said do it, so we did it.
Okay.
But I would not imagine. It's like that stuff needs to actually be coming from some kind of customer relationship slash marketing type system like Patron Point instead. You know,
Yeah.
it's not the ILS's job to send
Exactly.
the notices. It's the ILS's job to keep
Cue them.
record of those transactions and their current status, right? You know.
Yep. Agreed.
So don't the must-haves may not really be must-haves. Some of the should-haves may be must-haves now. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then the part two of that is yes, there is a you know, you'll have access to all the APIs to generate a report. Like this is how we do it. We set a cadence, right? The item is due in 3 days, pull all the items of that caliber, put them all together, send it to Patron Point as a file, whatever. So we built a little script that does this. And then we have to keep record of what we've collected. That way we don't bombard that patron every single day, you know, that their items are due or whatever. And so there's a lot of work that goes into even making that process that I would like to see that officially part of Folio where you can design using a UI, set your cadence, set your query parameters, and then automate that to generate a CSV that you send to a third party every day. You know, rather than having like, yes, it's really easy. You can build this yourself. And most people, like we did it for Horizon, we built it ourselves. Wouldn't it be cool if it just existed and you didn't have to pay your developer to build that? Or you could put an administrator that has no coding skills in charge of making changes to the cadences with a UI. You know, so I think of even small things like this, how can we make a small thing better? How can we make Folio better than Symfony? You know, through a user story like this.
So, and again, these are kind of shy of user stories, but what I'm imagining here is we go back, we actually go sort of like I'm seeing like two things happening here. One, going through and determining whether these things exist or don't exist in Folio. If they don't exist, determine whether or not it really, what its status is as its the actual requirement is, and then write user stories to describe these processes. And then plug that in.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
And figure out from your sheet like what's,
Where's the gap?
start putting those things in there so we know to write user stories. And I'm going to try to test on the demo systems in 2026.
Awesome. And there are, for your info too, there are demo systems that run for 2 weeks without
Yeah,
being used.
y'all were talking about that a couple months back.
And so there are some systems where you don't get it all set and then go back the next day and go, where'd it go? Where'd it go? It was here just a minute ago. So awesome.
I think
All
I
right.
told you
Well,
this before. One of the big reasons I'm interested is because we deliver all of our holds to our customers.
yeah,
Like
you
to the
guys
tune
have a
of 40,
wild
40 to 50,000
circulation.
items a month are delivered by a dedicated courier service. This is, speaking of an industrial kind of like assembly line kind of a process, we have to figure that out. And I have at least figured out how to configure Folio to set up patrons as delivery only holds. Although the holds and requests part in Folio still kind of confuses me and how that's gonna work, but I still think we can make it fly.
And I and you guys do just I don't know how much you're willing to share, but do you guys deal with what's your loss prevention look like in terms of, I mean, you're mailing it to people's houses essentially, carrying it. And so I imagine that you don't deal with a lot of lost items or
Yeah,
theft
so
or.
if so we do have patrons for whatever reasons, either because of problems with loss or because they live in a gated community where they can't provide a code for the courier, we do move things to our hold shelf. And it is an awkward and cumbersome process to do so. And I'm looking for a system that'll actually allow us to allow staff to set somebody as a pickup only customer. So it just gets routed, right? And we don't have to run it through this entire process. But yeah, we do have customers that we don't deliver to. So we still, but the workflow is an item bark is in held items delivery in Sierra. This goes back to Millennium too. An item barcode is scan. Items are paged. They are sent to a central location. Staff take the item off the cart, scan the item barcode. The system determines which patron is next in line on a hold for this record. Goes through the entire circulation process, checks it out to them, spits out a shipping label and a checkout receipt. The checkout receipt is put in the book. The book is put in an envelope. The shipping labels st slid into a slot on the outside of the envelope.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, it'll be a custom application, I'm sure. Probably just a custom web-based application to do that business logic for our staff in the home delivery department. But the fact that there is good support for delivery in Folio is like one of the chief reasons I am actually most interested in this. Because I don't think Polaris is going to do it. And I think if my memory is correct, I feel like the old Unicorn and Symphony home delivery thing works kind of the same way too. It's not built for this. And I do not want to be stuck on Sierra because we are the last customer using held items delivery. And if they break it, they're not going to fix it.
And then you're either stuck on an old system or building a
Yeah.
workaround.
Yeah, I mean like every time we do an update,
You're
I get
holding your
nervous.
breath.
Yeah, really,
Yeah.
seriously, man. We have a test system, so we test it pretty thoroughly before we update it still.
Right. And we do something similar. We have homebound patrons and stuff, and our outreach does something similar. You check it out to the patrons ahead of time, and then you take it and drop it off at the nursing home.
Yeah, but that workflow is all about selection of materials and take, for the
Right.
patron and not just paging items and then scanning item barcodes. And that's the way it works in Polaris too. So
Yeah, so I'd be interested. I haven't done a deep dive into how we do homebound for like a shipping label, like if we're actually shipping it to the patron. I don't know the workflow that we do for that at my own institution. And so that might be something that you and I can talk about if you're
Yeah.
interested and say, hey, how does it materialize in folio? For someone, we're of course not doing it with 40,000 records a month, but try like 40. But
It's basically our second busiest branch if you count by circulation.
wow, that is wild.
Yeah.
All
And
right.
again, going back to your document here, this gap analysis, man, the there's the biggest common thread I see is printing.
Yeah, check out receipt. Check in and check out receipts where we are flabbergasted. So this is one thing is that our outreach department will check like 80 items out to an institution at a time, right? We'll check it out to the nursing home as opposed to individuals who are at the nursing home. And so there's no way to check out a or I'm sorry, no way to print a checkout receipt or an all items out receipt for them. And so we on our dashboard, right, common workaround is we built a page where someone, our outreach department, can type in the borrowing institution and get an all items out and then print it on a piece of paper, on a receipt paper, or on an 8.5 by 11 or whatever. And so there was just one more workaround that we couldn't just click it on the user record, but it's a shock sometimes to that printing. I think maybe I think the influence possibly of European libraries, and this is not a diss on them by any measure, but Lisa, I think you were in London, where there's no such thing as a paper towel. And
Oh,
so
I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah.
that maybe there
I would
was.
say generally for
Go ahead.
academic libraries, I like at least in our case at Lehigh, I don't know that that's something that bo is bothersome. Maybe it is to the circ staff, and I don't really know. But the printing, so, but the I think we don't deal with as many physical books nearly as what you two are talking about. So that's the maybe part of the difference. Although we're
And
a smaller library.
your community is just more controlled because you're getting your rec. I mean, I'm going
That's a
to
good point.
assume you're getting your records from your bursar every month, every quarter or semester or month or whatever,
Yeah,
right?
electronically
And
too, yeah.
if somebody has is holding too many, if a student is like, owes X amount or has books out or something, I'm assuming you're contacting the bursars or the registrar's office and informing them via some automated means to, I mean, are you billing them directly or are you going through your institution's financial apparatus?
I think it's a little bit of both. I know we email them somebody. No, I don't, but I'm not usually involved in that, but I know we have someone here who does email them, but I know they too get a notice from the bursar's office. So there's a little bit of
Yeah.
both.
Right. And what are your checkout periods look like?
Oh gosh. Well, for students, I think mostly a full semester.
Yeah, and so who's going to keep a receipt for, 4 months?
Yeah. Yeah. Our average checkout period is 21 days.
Okay.
Yeah. That's that people go home and put it on the fridge and go, I got to get these back by this time,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a little different of a culture, but again, you might hear differently from a larger library. academic library than ours too. But I wonder.
Their culture is going to be different from campus to campus, probably more than
True.
from public library to public library, I would think.
True.
And I had wondered if there was some slight European influence where it was save the trees, like save the paper. We
That
should
could
send
be.
everything. Here's a checkout email, right? And a renewal
Well,
email. You always get an email
and that
for.
would be an option we'd like to be able to set for a patron for receipts. We'd like a patron to be able to determine whether they want print in a can something in the patron record, even preferably if they could actually set it on, their discovery layer patron record site. If there is a flag that, you could, do an edit the patron record from that side, though, so they could choose whether they want email or print receipts. So, like it'll email them that their item's been automatically renewed, for example, that kind of a thing. I actually I'm pretty sure that that's actually in there, in the document I sent you, is that we could be able to send. Circulation provides multiple methods of notifications, e.g., SMS, email for holds, cancellations, expirations, overdue bills. That's actually getting into the notices stuff. Patron lookup. Receipt option system provides option for print, email, SMS receipts.
There you go.
That's on the public services tab there. Yeah, I worked a lot of hours those couple of months
I
to put this
bet
together, so
that's pretty comprehensive. And there again, another thing I never thought of having it as a user preference. In Horizon, we would always print someone's receipt, right? Usually if they ask, would you like a receipt? Yeah, here you go. But we also set up a workaround, right? Another custom application that would also email them. And so we had it set up as both, where receipt was optional, asked for by the staff member, but it would always email the checkout receipt to the customer. In Folio, we have mod notice disabled and we just do everything ourselves through custom. So we don't take advantage of that. That is a feature of mod notices to send it, but there's no custom, I don't want to say no customization of that, but you cannot ingest the notice through a marketing platform, right? It's sending, Folio is sending the email. And so you are building the template in a very basic editor that looks, you receive the email and it looks kind of dated, right? You can't put marketing information in there and make it flashy looking and stuff like that. But once again, I never thought of the option of setting it as a user preference, right? To do email or print. That would have never occurred to me. To set it up
And I
that
mean,
way.
if and this is the kind of stuff where if we if I get the buy-in leave to work on this, I want to get we have a UX person, Amy Van Chyke, absolutely brilliant person. I want her I want her working with me to write these user stories for anything that's patron facing, right? Because we just, I mean, we're li libraries, we just make so many assumptions about what the user wants. I mean, we're terrible about it. I'm hoping I can get the room to do it. I was starting to get, there was some interest from my administration, and then I don't know, some innovative Clarivate executives started calling them a lot, and they started getting a little more friendly with them, but I think they're actually kind of starting to see what I told them.
Awesome. Well, that gives me hope. That gives me hope.
There are some people really nervous about getting into something like this, and I'm just
Oh,
like,
sure.
I mean, what's the bigger risk? Like investing in something and it not being perfect, or not changing and continue doing what we're doing.
And I've often reflected, I tell people this, that I was not part of the gap analysis or the ILS selection when we did this. I was not the manager at the time. I didn't have a say. I wasn't asked opinions. And so, in retrospect, if I had had the option, I probably would have said no to Folio, just because it wasn't, because I'm a steady man, right? I want everything to just work out of the box. I don't want to, I just want it to work. But I'm so glad that I wasn't there to make that decision or have my input, because every institution hates migrating their ILS, right? It's the worst part of working at a library, is trying to figure out a migration. But when it comes to Folio, you'll never have to make that decision again. Because once you're on Folio, you're on it. And you're always going to get the latest and greatest. It's always going to evolve. You're never going to have to migrate off of Folio and have to go through this or that whole process again. And so that's my pitch for that. You can use that when you talk to them, that, this is the last time that your institution will ever have to do an RFP for an ILS. Is once you go to Folio, you're there. And not because you're stuck, but because the product will only ever get better and meet your needs. Well, at 10 after 11, I think this is a good meeting, David. And I see Lisa dropped off.
Oh,
So
hope I
I
didn't run her
think,
off.
no, she had another meeting
Yeah.
to go to. So.
Yeah, this is these should have been, I should have shared this as tables. That's weird. One of these sheets is tables and the other is not. So save them as tables
Oh,
just to
okay. Yeah, I
make
can
it
see
easier
that.
to like sort and me mess with and stuff. I don't know what happened. It only saved it with one of the tables, one of the sheets as
As the
tables.
table.
Yeah, it's a lot of info. I don't know if it's helpful or not. It might be.
It's going to be helpful. It's going to be
So
helpful.
we need another column that says what it does have.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I just did. I added one to in column D. I said exists in Folio, and then I started
Yeah.
marking yes.
Can you get where do you actively work on spreadsheets at in the Folio project? Do you have like a Google Drive or do you have to like upload it to Confluence?
There isn't a place
Mm-hmm.
that's like designated for the SIG groups or whatever. But one thing is, I have a section of my Google Drive, that just my institutional Google Drive, that I have designated for the public library SIG. And so I can convert this into a Google Sheet and put it
That'd be
there.
really awesome if you could share that and then we could actually work on it.
Awesome. I will do that right now when we get off
Because
the line.
I'd actually like to be able to look at this as you're working on it, ask questions about it. I mean, you're probably going to need a notes column or something there too. And,
Sure.
you know, it's probably not a yes, no. It's sometimes there may be a like partial
Yep.
response, you know. And with notes in there, and then I can actually share this, and maybe you can get some people outside of the public library SIG to respond to it to some degree too. So you're not doing this entire thing by your own self, man, because that's too much.
Yeah. There are some times where I look at the work that has to be done and I go, I still have a full-time job that I have to do too.
But
So.
I'm reluctant to present this to anybody with that must have. That Moscow column that way. Let's just
And is that
it's
because that could have
we're over
changed?
your time. It could have changed and it may not
Sure.
even be like relevant anymore. Getting back to the notices, man, that's not a must have because there's third party vendors, you know, or maybe it remains must have, but we just note that, you know, provided by third party vendors as, you know.
Right.
So yes, no, partial or provided by third party could possibly be another option in a column D there with notes on like vendors providing these things. Maybe we put discovery back in there.
Yeah, well, see, and that's part of the thing too when it comes to discovery is that while Viewfind is or Aspen is really well fleshed out in terms of what it can support, that the Folio discovery API that that's using still has work to be done on it.
Okay, so that's
So
actually pretty relevant then.
it is
Yeah.
absolutely relevant because there might be, you know, Viewfind does support showing a checkout history, but it doesn't support showing a checkout history for Folio, right? Because it'll support it with Symfony, it'll support it with Polaris or whatever. It'll support it, but it won't support the Folio driver, does not yet support it. And so there are some things that that does have to be done for the discovery API in order for it to be functional in Viewfind or Aspen or. So I think that that's still valuable.
I'm actually gonna put it back in there, dude. Let me go back and copy it. I'm gonna copy these rows and stick them back in there. I just don't think that right now is a good time to go back and like rehash all the must-have questions.
Yeah, sure.
It later will be the time for that. Let me plug that back in there, and while I'm at it, let's make these all formatted as tables. No, I want to format it as a table, but I want like clear lines. Yeah, there we go. And then the API format as table. I'm just doing them all as gray. And see, that one already is a table. Right. And then the text service is one, format as table. And then I'm going to save this again, close it, and upload another copy. Use that one, delete the old one.
Okay.
Because the discovery should be in there. It's even if it's not native, if one if a column D response is like, available, or partially available, and with a third party product, that's still important. I want patrons to be able to view room reservations. So that's not happening in Folio, but that needs to be able to be pulled in into a third party discovery layer.
Absolutely.
So,
Yep. Absolutely.
we'll talk more. I've gone way
Okay, that
over,
sounds
sorry.
good. Yeah. No, that was we use Communico for our bookings, and we're being teased by Solus because we partnered with them and they're building a fully featured 100% Folio functioning app for Android and iOS, and they also do meeting room reservations with remote lock and all that. And so, being able to bring that into Viewfind, into the discovery layer, would be awesome because Communico does not have a well-documented API that you can pull from, but Solus is willing to play ball. So, being able to have that would be a big win.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well,
Hey
thank you so
man, you have a
much,
good one.
Jacob. Yeah.
Y'all, y'all,
I hope you
y'all,
do the same.
y'all take care and holler, man.
All right. Sounds
All
good.
right.
We'll talk to you hopefully before next month, but next month at the latest.
Yeah, if I don't show, we're in the middle of training
Migration
or
hell.
migration. Yeah. Well, I mean,
Oh.
it's not even migration, man. I mean, there's no real data migration. Just implementing a discovery layer though is going to be a significant, lift. But it's
It's a
only like
lift.
it's a couple of months. It's not like an ILS migration. I keep trying to remind everybody of that too, because they're like, "Oh my God." I'm like, "No, we're not migrating data, okay? It's
Right.
not the same thing. It's going to be okay." Trying to keep people calm.
Are you going to do a parallel deployment so that you can get some beta feedback from patrons on the
We
new
are we're go
interface?
we are all over the place on whether we're going to actually do some testing, but it's not going to be parallel. Once we go live, we're going live.
Gotcha.
So,
It's all or nothing. Got to rip the band-aid
yeah.
off, David.
Yeah, but we are talking about doing some testing though.
Okay.
With
Awesome.
customers. That's where Amy comes in. I was telling you about. She's invaluable.
Awesome. Well, I
Awesome.
wish
Y'all
you
have
the
a good
very
one, man.
best. Yeah, you do the same.
If I don't talk to you soon, I'll be catching up with y'all in January.
All right, sounds good. You
All
take
right, be
care.
good. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.